بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فقال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى: حدثنا محمد بن عبد العزيز قال حدثنا عبد الملك بن الخطاب بن عبيد الله بن أبي بكرة البصري قال لقيته بالرملة قال حدثني راشد أبو محمد عن شهر بن حوشب عن أم الدرداء عن أبي الدرداء رضي الله تعالى عنه وأنهم قال: أوصاني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بتسعين: لا تشرك بالله شيئا، وإن قطئت أو حرقت، ولا تتركن الصلاة المكتوبة متعمدا، ومن تركها متعمدا برئت منه الذمة، ولا تشربن الخمر فإنها مفتاح كل شر، وأطِع والديك وإن أمراك أن تخرج من دنياك فاخرج لهما، ولا تنازعن ولاة الأمر وإن رأيت أنك أنت، ولا تفرر من الزحف وإن هلكت وفر أصحابك، وأنفق من طولك على أهلك، ولا ترفع عصاك على أهلك، وأخفهم في الله عز وجل. حضرت أبو الدرداء رضي الله تعالى عنه reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam gave me 9 advices. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam advised me with 9 things. لا تشرك بالله شيئا وإن قطئت أو حرقت. Do not associate anything as a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you are cut to pieces or burnt. وَلَا تَتْرُكَنَّ الصَّلَاةَ الْمَكْتُوبَةَ مُتَعَمِّدًا. Never abandon the obligatory salah, the fard salah, intentionally. وَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا مُتَعَمِّدًا بَرِئَتْ مِنْهُ الذِّمَّةُ. One who abandons the obligatory salah, the fard salah, intentionally, without any valid shari'i reason, he will lose the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will lose the security of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَشْرَبَنَّ الْخَمْرَ. And never drink wine. فَإِنَّهَا مِفْتَاحُ كُلِّ شَرٍ. Because it is the key to every evil. وَأَطِئْ وَالِدَيْكَ. And obey your parents. وَإِنْ أَمَرَاكَ أَن تَخْرُجَ مِن دُنْيَاكَ فَخْرُجْ لَهُمَا. If they order you to leave your world, leave your home, leave your worldly possessions, فَخْرُجْ لَهُمَا. Then leave your world for them. Leave your possessions, leave your home for them. وَلَا تُنَازِعَنَّ وُلَاتَ الْأَمْرِ. And never contend, never dispute the rulers. وَإِنْ رَأَيْتَ أَنَّكَ أَنْتَ. Even if you think, even if you feel, you are right and they are wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the rulers. Ulul Amr and Wulatul Amr, they both refer to the same thing, the rulers. So there in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, obey your rulers. Obey Allah, obey Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Ulul Amr, the rulers. And here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَلَا تُنَازِعَنَّ وُلَاتَ الْأَمْرِ. Do not create any dispute between yourself and the rulers. That means, do not disobey them, obey them. So this is the same command. وَلَا تُنَازِعَنَّ وُلَاتَ الْأَمْرِ. Do not contend, do not dispute with the rulers. Even if you feel, even if you think that you are right and they are wrong. Now what is the limit for this command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We find many a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where this is emphasized, that obey your rulers, do not disobey your rulers, do not try to overthrow your rulers, do not try to dismiss your rulers. Even if they are not pious, even if they are not following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason for this command of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to maintain unity amongst the ummah. Because if a group of Muslims try to overthrow the ruler, then the ummah will become divided into two parts. And a civil war will take place. And they will kill one another and the Muslim ummah will become weak. So there are two evils. One evil is that the Muslims quarrel and fight amongst themselves and become weak. And it becomes very easy for the enemy to overpower them. This is one evil. And the other evil is that the ruler remains neglectful of certain commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, instead of coming into the masjid and leading the salat as the amir, in its mustahab times, he comes in makruh time and he leads the salat. So to a certain extent, he is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To a certain extent, he is neglecting the spirit of Islam. Or in his private life, in his day-to-day life, in matters related to him, he is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe he is not coming to the masjid to perform salat. He is not regular with his salat. Consuming wine. Not maintaining the injunctions of hijab. So one evil is that the Muslims quarrel and fight amongst themselves, become weak, and the enemy overpowers them. And the second evil is that the Muslims remain united, strong, and the enemy is unable to overpower them, but the ruler is not very particular in regard to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Sharia in this case teaches us to go for the lesser of the two evils. Because in this case it is only one person who is neglecting the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or he may influence those people who are very close to him. Or maybe the whole country may begin to neglect the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a certain extent. They may become lenient as far as staying away from the commands of, from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. But in the other scenario, kufra will overpower iman and Islam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over and over again has said that obey your rulers. And here ruler means the Amirul Mu'mineen, the highest authority in an Islamic state. Do not disobey them. Do not try to overthrow them. So do not disobey the Amirul Mu'mineen. Do not try to overthrow the Amirul Mu'mineen. Do not plan a coup against the Amirul Mu'mineen. And obey Amirul Mu'mineen in all circumstances, so that the Muslims can remain united. Yes, it is desirable, and Sharia has emphasized that the Muslims appoint that person as the ruler and as the Amir al-Mu'mineen who is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is pious, who is muttaqi. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu was appointed the first caliph and first Amir al-Mu'mineen, very pious. Then he was followed by Umar radiyallahu anhu, then he was followed by Usman radiyallahu anhu, he was followed by Ali radiyallahu anhu, all pious personalities. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu was chosen by Umar radiyallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had indicated during his lifetime that after me the Amir of the Mu'mineen will be Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. There are so many ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that point to this fact. That Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, without any dispute, was the most worthy person to become the Amir al-Mu'minin after our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, before departing from this world, appointed Umar radiyallahu anhu as the caliph. Because he was very pious. In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was very virtuous. When Umar radiallahu anhu passed away, or just before he passed away, when he was wounded, he was attacked, and just before his martyrdom, people said, Istakhlib ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. O Amir al-Mu'mineen, before you depart from this world, please appoint somebody as the caliph. So he said, if I appoint an caliph, if I appoint a caliph, if I, before leaving this world, appoint a caliph, that this person should be the caliph after me, then I have proof for that also, because Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, who is senior to me, did that. And if I leave this world without appointing any caliph, I have proof for that also, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam left this world without specifically appointing Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu as the Amir. But he said, I will leave the matter amongst those people with whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was happy when he departed from this world. So I will leave the matter of khilafah after me, matter of caliphate after me, amongst that group
with whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was happy, that means was more happy than the others, or definitely happy when he departed from this world. And those were the remaining members of the Ashara-e Mubashara. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu had passed away. And Umar radiyallahu anhu was about to depart. And Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiyallahu anhu had already passed away. So, 7 from the 10 Ashara-e Mubashara were alive when Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu, when Umar radiyallahu anhu was passing away. And he said that from these 7, Sa'id ibn Zaid, who is my brother-in-law, radiyallahu anhu, he should not become the caliph. He did not favor his brother-in-law. He said, Sa'id ibn Zaid should not be considered for this position. He said, a person from the other 6 should become the caliph. So when a caliph is appointed, the Muslims should try to make sure that a pious person is appointed, a muttaqi person is appointed. But if the Muslims make a mistake, and because of sentimental reasons, or they become emotional, and they choose the wrong person, and after choosing him, they realize that we have chosen the wrong person, now obey him. Because now, for a few individuals to stand up and try to bring about a coup against him, or overthrow him, the community will definitely be divided into 2 parts. And the greater evil will come into existence. Or sometimes, the Muslims had chosen the right person. They were under the assumption that this is a muttaqi person, a very pious person. It was only after his appointment they realized that we've chosen the wrong person. Or, he was pious, and after he was made the Khalifa, maybe a year after, 6 months after, 2 years after, 1 year after, he became irreligious. Again, the same thing. We need to exercise patience, because unity is very, very important. Now my brothers, think for a moment how important unity is. That the leader of the mu'minin, the amir of the mu'minin, the amirul mu'minin, the khalifa of who is the highest authority, he is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, don't try to overthrow it. Now what is the limit? How much should the people tolerate? So there are stages. Stage number 1, he is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But his disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not coming out open into the public. So he is not a flagrant violator of Sharia. He disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes one person notices that he is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people very close to him, they know he disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People know that he is not performing salat, he is not coming to the masjid. But because people cannot see him, they are able to somehow create an excuse for him and say, maybe he is unwell. That's why he is not coming to the masjid. Maybe he is ma'adur. There is some udhr. So there is possibility of a ta'wil. But people do know that he is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he has this, reach this limit of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the ruling is that people should remain completely quiet. They should not even do nahi anil munkar. Because there is a possibility that one person will speak, a second person will speak, a third person will speak, a fourth person will speak, and again the ummah may get divided into 2 parts. He excels in his disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he reaches that stage where he disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala openly. Openly. He does not come for salat, and everybody knows he does not come for salat. Everybody can see that he is engaged in other activities at the time of salah. He is consuming alcohol. Everybody can see that he consumes alcohol. So he becomes an open violator of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the Shari'i ruling? When a caliph reaches this stage, if there is no fear of fitna, and if there is no fear of disunity amongst the Muslims, then nahi anil munkar should be carried out, and if possible, he should be overthrown. But if there is fear that as a result of trying to overthrow him, or as a result of carrying out the obligation of nahi anil munkar, the ummah will be divided into two parts, then again, remaining silent is better. This is how important unity is in Islam. But he excels in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he leaves the fold of Islam. And he becomes a kafir, a non-Muslim. Now this is beyond toleration. Because if he has become a kafir, then both evils are same. If we are divided and non-Muslims overpower us, or we are not divided but the person ruling us is a non-Muslim, so whatever decisions he will take, it will be in favor of the non-Muslim. So now both are equal. So now automatically he is dismissed, automatically he is discharged from his position. As soon as he utters the word of kufr, he remains a Muslim no more. And if he does not remain he remains a khalifa or ruler or amirul mu'minin no more. And if that is the case, then the Muslims now need to rise up and try to dismiss him and try to overthrow him. It becomes compulsory in this third case. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here says, لا تنازعن ولاة الأمر. Do not create disputes with the rulers. So what is the meaning of this hadith? That without necessity, when the ruler is pious, do not try to overthrow him. Do not create any disputes with him. If he is not pious, but if he has reached the first degree of disobedience, then remain quiet. Do not create any problems with him. If he has reached the second degree of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he is openly violating the Sharia, then think, make mashwara amongst yourselves, that if we rise against him, will it divide the community? If we try to put him on the right path, amr bil maruf nahi anil munkar, will it divide the community? If there is fear of fitna, fear of the community being divided, then again remain quiet and just sabr. And if there is a possibility, then no, nothing will happen. Everybody is united. It's a very pious environment and everybody is in favor of us. Then a person may rise, or people may rise and try to overthrow him. And only in one case where you are not to obey him and you are to overthrow him, that is when he becomes a kafir. So, illa antarau kufran bawahan. When you see open kufr, that is the time you stand up against. So, wala tunaziyanna wulat al-amri, do not contend against the rulers, do not create dispute with the rulers, even if you think and even if you feel that you are right. And another advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, which we have discussed in detail under a hadith previously, wala tafrir min az-zahfi. Do not run away from the battlefield. Do not flee from battle. Wain halakta, even if you perish, and even if all your companions run away.
There is emphasis in here. There are certain exceptions when a person is able to leave the battlefield. But here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has emphasized that in no circumstance should you leave the battlefield. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to understand the message of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us that right which is right. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us that batil which is batil. So that we may refrain from batil and we may follow the right. This was regarding the Amirul Mu'mineen. But in all matters in our life, we should try to maintain unity. For example, we have a madrasa where we have a principal. Same rule will apply. That try your utmost not to create disunity. And sabr. Even if you feel you are being treated unfairly, sabr. Try to practice as much sabr as possible. Yes, if there is a way where you feel that good can be brought in this institute, in this masjid, in this madrasa, without dividing the community, then yes, one should try. But only because a person feels hurt, or only because he feels like taking revenge, or only because he doesn't like a particular person, to try and make people rise against that person and create disunity is something which is very much disliked by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما آتيتنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا